people.
Yeah, if you think there's a secular reality outside yourself, and that you're just the recipient of some reality that was here before you were, then it makes it challenging to think you can play with it, because it's already existent, and you're late to the scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you see that it's being conjured at present, and one's interpretation of it is only heresy, malleable, randomized heresy, then what you create as the solid reality that's going to get you is completely fabricated. So you're already playing with it, but you presume that you're not the author of the story, that this is independently occurring and you're just the victim.
Who is the author of the story?
Yeah, there's no who.
What is the author of the story?
Neither that. There's no what.
It's actually this story.
Horton, here's a who. It's that little guy inside that. It's in the dandelion.
It's just
world
implication. Evaporating implication. That's all. There's no who behind it. There's no what behind it. There's no author. And as you look at it, you can see that the entirety of the implication that's occurring at present has no legs, has no actual reality. Your imagination and what we call memory contribute to feeling this as if it's secularly existent prior to you being on the scene. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was taking my friend Mike, dropped him off at his house, and it's the house his dad died, in the middle of the park, and the chat. And it's going to be knocked down. And so this whole family and another family, but this whole family has lived there for 45 years, maybe 50 years, something like that, maybe 40, I don't know. Anyway, 47 times. There is a lot of story. I mean, you go into the house, you see a lot of things. You know,
so you can see how you're painting the canvas now?
Right. I was thinking that place is going to be demolished. And each person in that house had a story, and there was a drama, and there was a story.
We have stories about it. We didn't even live there.
And, you know, right. And then it's all just sort of like dust.
Every moment there's a major demolition crew operating, a really, really major demolition crew, just dismantling all of it. That's moment to moment, not the 50-year-old house.
It's not really that big of a deal if it's not like a materialistic, heavy, like, you know what I mean? Like that idea that it's like hard and there's a lot, like I don't know.
Your liberation is not found with what is. Your liberation is found with what isn't.
Yeah, the mind can get pretty full of presumptions.
As soon as there's what is, you know, you're a blotch of oil on the canvas. And that proliferates instantaneously, nonstop, and never actually resolves into anything, never actually becomes anything other than implication and proliferation. So you can't find your liberation in implication and proliferation because it's too seductive. It snookers you before the thought even comes to mind. You're snookered. Your identity is fabricated before you even think anything. That's how fast it is. So as long as you become enamored of proliferation and paint on canvas, you're always in distortion. And I'm not saying distortion is a bad thing. It's just distortion. It's quite a magnificent distortion, actually. But your liberation is seeing that, oh, implication doesn't come from anywhere, doesn't mean anything, doesn't resolve into anything. There's nothing to grasp. There's no one to grasp it. It's just a demonstration of a demolition team. Then there's nothing to be free from. There's no one to be free of anything. You can feel that way for as long as you enjoy it, or perhaps suffer it. Even that feeling is just part of the myth of implication. That feeling does not define you. It does not clothe you. Presence is atemporal. Without time. Becoming is a myth. 50-year-old homes and the experiences that occurred in them and the wiping clean of that structure is of the nature of myth.
Yeah, it's just like...
And that's this. Your freedom is found here, seeing this be demolished in your face.
All that story all the time, you'd be in the state of, I could see how you could see it, be peaceful.
Yeah, that's right. But it's not a letting go, you see, because the story was never real to begin with, so there's nothing to let go of.
Well, how do you freeze that?
Yeah. Well, I know it's, you know, not to pick on words, but it's a crafty implication, right? Letting go suggests you're here, shit happened to you, and wouldn't it be sweet if you could let go of it, right? You're already too late.
You're here.
Well, that's the implication of letting go. That's why, forgive me, you know, letting go is not really a goal. It's not even possible. Don't even concern yourself with letting go.
So what exists on the other side?
Other side of what?
Drama. I don't know.
Just this. Here it is. Liberation is found in the midst of the drama. You don't have to run off into a cave to become drama-free. You can be drama-free in the midst of the drama.
And sooner or later, you have to come out of the cave anyway. You know, yeah.
Or die in it. There's no other side. It's just whatever this is.
So if I, like, look at that wall over there, and I see mirrors, and I see what it looks like, mold and stone and... I mean, I could just go off on a million different tangents about that wall.
You can.
Or sin or whatever.
Take the wall. Take the wall, please.
And... But the fact is, it's just sort of... I don't know, if I even say it's stone.
Just see that your experience is splurging forth. The idea of wall, the idea of anything associated with the wall, the idea of a consciousness that perceives the wall, it's just splurging forth. There's no actual I. There's just the splurging. You could say the splurging hitting what we refer to as the neocortex makes it appear as if pattern recognition is constructing a secular universe that was here before you came on the scene.
Yeah.
And so you find yourself as a creature wandering about in a volume where shit happens, a lot of which you don't like. And that's samsara. That's the banality of self. Creature wandering about in a volume where a bunch of shit happens, most of which you don't like. Fuck you. You're an idiot. And I don't mean that personally. That's for the whole 7.3 billion. Well, who knows what it is? I mean, a story is one way to call it, but you can see how quickly, no matter what we call it, then that becomes another object. And there are no objects here. Radiant perceptibility.
I had a conversation with my aunt today. She was 70. And she said, and other relatives came in here, blah, blah, blah. So there was a story. And then she says, my cousin, and this is sort of like typical. Anyway, my cousin, she says, he threw like a flash of light. And I didn't, you know, comment on that.
Is he deceased?
No, he's, well, he's alive, yeah, he's alive. But she gave, I mean, she was just, you know, kind of...
Coming through suggests what? It sounds like mediumship, that's why I asked if he were dead.
No, she's, no, it was like, I don't even know if her and I would put the same kind of meaning to what she said.
Uh-huh.
But... maybe I was thinking, okay, I mean, I went off on a story about her and the end of her life, whatever. She said he went off, like, in other words, he came through, said hello, and left, like, boom, boom.
I see.
You know,
yeah.
Flash of light.
Yes.
But that made me sort of think. Like, we're all just sort of flashes of light in there.
I've heard teachers suggest it. Each so-called moment, which is no moment at all, could be construed as a click or a flash. But even that's maybe a little too thick.
Yeah, but you have to take...
See, you don't.
You have to take things.
No, that's just it. You don't.
It's like letting go of the story, then da 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 da, then da da da.
Your present experience is a proliferation of evaporation. That's about it. You wanna worship Hanuman? Go right ahead.
That's the monkey god, right?
Yeah.
The overcomer of obstacles.
That's right. Yeah, when the wind blows, Hanuman is present.
The way you overcome obstacles is by creating the monkey. Be careful.
That's right.
You get the monkey.
That's right. You need one in order to clear it.
So, right here, right now, if you have problems, right? I mean, physical pain could be quite present. That doesn't necessarily have to be a problem, but physical pain could be, you know, holding your attention as an ouch. So, absent physical pain, anything else that you imagine is a problem is imagined. You have to do an inventory. You have to do a psychological, psychiatric, whatever inventory of your life and its accoutrements, its genesis, and the possibility of outcomes or regrets for you to manufacture that you have a problem.
I took sailing lessons the last couple of 2 weeks. And these guys, and I ended up on the boat, the captain and 3 other guys, and there really wasn't enough room for all of us. You know, it was a sailboat on the lake, not the next day. And these guys, except for one of them, football super fun. I mean, he wanted to, he was doing teaching his skills. So,
and?
So, you know, but this one time, it's like I was ready to push him overboard. You know, and he was ready to push me overboard. But she almost
sounds like you met a friend.
I can go off on tangents.
We know that.
I can analyze.
Yeah, that's why we love you.
Anyway.
That's what we call you when you're not around. The queen of the queen of tangents, or one who goes off on tangents, like one who pisses on the sides of barns or dances with wolves or stuff like that. I'm with you, yeah.
In my mind. Now, they might have seen me as too lean because I was just like not pulling in the sheets and working this and doing that and blah, blah, blah. And we were learning the skill, you know, some
aliens.
Okay.
I was just like, this. So I thought, I actually had a thought to myself. Wouldn't this guy be very proud of me? Look at how like lean back I'm become. Like I'm not intensely into the drama.
And the boom swings and knocks her off.
And that's exactly what fucking happened.
Oh, are you kidding?
I got whacked in the head. And I'm like, and I'm just blaming him on the one dude. I don't really. But I'm like,
yeah.
You know, at one point I just kind of was out there and I just wanted to kind of do one of these.
Good. And you got hit by a boom. That was the universe's way of saying good move.
It was? That's your, like, wake up, man. You got to start pulling in these words.
That's one interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah, one interpretation.
It's a good T-shirt. Wake up, bitch! You got to start pulling these ropes.
How to sail because it's hard work, and it kind of sucks. But you might want to sail boat someone else's sails.
That's my friend.
Yeah, that's probably more like it.
Is it Hutchins?
Okay. You don't actually want to learn how to sail.
She likes to move, so. I'll sail.
Yeah, you just sit back and
play with the rakes.
I like a story that goes nowhere.
As they all do.
As they all do. There's nothing right or wrong with having a story, telling a story, living a story, enjoying a story. Okay. You know, if there's a question in these kinds of conversations, it might be, I don't even know what it is. Forget it. There is no question. There's nothing.
Just evaporated.
Yeah, really. You know, it's like, it's, you have to think that you're applying yourself for some reason, for some motive, to have some impact on what you imagine your life experience is. And, you know, that motive can... Thank you. That's your response. That motive can, you know, wire you up for decades, if not the entirety of your life.
Yeah, but I had eggs on that.
Yeah. state of China is not China.
So the whole conversation would be different if we're not residing in this body that we identify ourselves with.
Could be.
Because then our reference point would be what? Who knows, right? Not what I see and remember. If I don't see the eyeballs,
just flower and water
in a local place.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And that's part of the fun of the experiment. If one is motivated by some form of amelioration of suffering, you know, or the pursuit of the kingdom, whether the kingdom is wealth or success or spiritual experience, what becomes of you? How do you conduct yourself in the rhythm of a day, in the privacy of your own consciousness, when you're free? Right?
When, an ongoing question.
When the drama field is not demanding what you believe or how you experience things. It's not like you have to run off and, you know, start an ashram.
Some do.
Some do. Yeah, they feel like, yeah, I should start an ashram.
What should I do today?
Mm-hmm.
I have regular liquor.
Thank you.
You love
that.
Said absent physical pain.
Mm.
But you can't be absent. It has to be included.
Yeah, it has to be included, but while you're having a conversation about looking at the nature of things.
It's been my life.
You know, physical pain can be
and then Warren will be taking care of you since he's already down here.
It's our waiter.
Okay. Mm. Physical pain can be presently distracting.
Warren?
Yes, we do.
110, you're going to take this 5 years.
It is. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I mean, depending on the severity of physical pain, you know, that becomes, you could say, your priority, right?
Yeah, it becomes focusing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a thing. Are you allergic to anything?
No. Thanks, yeah.
Reloaded.
Great.
No, right?
Do you want to add eggs?
No eggs?
I think I'm going to have a big burger.
Oh, okay.
It's so risky
ordering
burgers.
Yeah, right. Just tell me when it's still moving. Patience, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Remember, time doesn't exist.
Well, we can tell the guy to fuck off. You don't have to be nice. That's just how Dave is.
That's right. I can't help
it. Yeah.
spend too much time in the New Age groups.
Without using imagination, what is your present experience? No fucking idea.
I can get a bottle of wine.
You can name objects.
What?
You can name objects. That's true. But what is the nature of your present experience? You don't know. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's pretty simple.
That's the answer.
So look at...
Look, you guys, I got this.
Yeah, really. Be nice to you. Really. Yeah. Whoever gets hit that week, that's who we have to be nice to. It's rotating. Now, isn't it curious that the confidence that you place in the life that you're having has to rely on quite, you could say, a force of nature of confidence, of knowledge, consequence and genesis, outcome, reason. But when I ask a simple question, not just of you, but of myself primarily, what's the nature of my present experience? And if I don't answer that with objects, I don't know. So how is it possible that we construct the entirety of a magical, if not hypothetical, apparitional life from which we suffer when we really don't know what the nature of our present experience is? You can only do so in imagination. That's what everyone is suffering from. With all due respect to 80% or more of the population that has crappy drinking water, suffering from parasites, doesn't eat well, and is, you know, violently disenfranchised by local hoodlums.
God, are we lucky?
Yeah, we're pretty fucking lucky. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see why, you know, taking the best snipers you have out there to shoot hoodlums isn't a good idea.
Well, you probably start at the White House, work your way through Capitol Hill.
Wouldn't be hard to any left, I know.
It wouldn't be, yeah. Washington, D.C. would be, you know, clean right out.
Conversation last night, and I just felt like this, like I was like the weirdest, stupidest person on the planet. I'm like, oh my god. I actually think the government is good for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just like, it's just, you know, like spouting out random lies that they've been told that they just randomly believed and have nothing to do with anything. It's like so bizarre.
The brainwashing of, you know, most primates is pretty thorough. I mean, it's not
a
pandemic.
Hard. It's not hard. I mean, all you got to do is like suggest something, right? It's just like the nature of the way this is like so easily seduced by the smallest suggestion.
That's right.
And can take it and just, you know, run with it. It has no evidence or anything.
Nothing. It's got
it's
nothing.
Just like, and it's confident. It's like, no, I am totally on board with that. You're like,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. You can't like question it. And it's just, you know, like just all the way down to the level of personhood. Yeah.
You could say our primary nature, next to liberated euphoria, is gullibility.
I know. We are really gullible.
puberty, I've seen your water.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't even notice it.
It's too far from me anyway.
What works?
Glad you came by.
She might have to stretch your arm out.
I'm too tired.
I missed your cup. I would have filled it.
It's all hell realm.
Yeah.
No matter where you look, it's hell realm.
Weirdly to respond to the loudest authoritative voice. It sounds like it knows something. It's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction. I have so many bosses who don't know anything, but they have a loud authoritative voice.
Mm.
And that's how they got the job.
Good thing.
They sound like they know something.
If you look at all the nonsense being espoused by politicians seeking office or in office, I don't know, it's like the cackling of flamingos. Right, and when one of those flamingos takes flight, everyone's like, "Whoa, we better get out of here." Why? I don't know. I'm not sure. That guy took off. Why'd he take off? He had an itch. We're all going now.
Yeah, that's it.
Truly, that kind of biologic resonance.
Mm-hmm.
Ants communicate through biologic resonance. Whales, that you could say are of a different order of intelligence. Mm-hmm. Figure out how to herd huge amounts of fish, plankton, whatever, so that they can feed more efficiently. Dolphins do the same. Circles and bubbles, herding prey. Right? A creature that herds prey is kind of an advanced creature.
I like getting the buffalo to go off the cliff.
I mean, we have an opposable thumb and a neocortex, even though I would probably bet the dolphins and humpbacks are way smarter than we are. They just have different communication tools, and they can't make tools. We can make tools. That's why we're so dangerous.
They don't make visible tools.
Mm-hmm.
Sonar is a tool.
Oh, yeah.
A very powerful tool. It's just not visible to us in the
right.
Same way that we consider something to be a tool.
Yeah.
Because we're tools.
Crows can make tools.
You're a tool.
You're a tool.
You're a tool. I'm not. You're a tool.
Time to retool.
Oh, no, he's going back to Tally.
It has to. This is the church
so
of Towley.
So what did you talk about? Well, we ended up back to Towley, huh?
Towley.
How?
Our character.
I can feel my legs.
That's an expert.
Oh, my goodness.
Towley is a stoner towel on South Park.
Is it my own? What's that?
I'm going to wait for it.
Oh, can we come back? No, it's going to be a while. Yeah, why don't you hang and relax? Unravel this drama. All right.
Later.
Ladies and gents.
Bye-bye, guys. Bye.
See
you. You want to take that?
Until the next time.
Bye, dude.
Bye-bye. I will be this coming week. Some of the time. There's only one response. Yeah, I didn't have time. Yeah. It really works, so. But yeah, in October I'm going to have to get
out. Okay.
So then you guys are invited.
Where's
the rest
of the crew here? Pretty fried
fries.
Nice. Burger and fries?
Hey, we'll miss you. Give me
a what else is over there?
Maybe I should have started talking. Maybe you should have started talking to him a little bit. Anyway, it's great. I don't know.
That's not his thing.
Yeah, but it's not his thing. It's not his thing.
He seems kind of...
I mean, most people just don't know what you're talking about.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
Because they get so freaked out so immediately when you suggest that you can't go much further. You're like, all right. It's like dealing with a psychiatric patient, you know. You can't go that far with them because they start freaking out. And you're like, oh, okay, let's just, you know, go play chess or something.
You know, everything's made up of hidden energy. There may be. I mean, there's definitely something bigger than us out there, but...
Is there?
Not really.
No, there's not.
That's the sad part. We just want to believe that.
I mean, well...
There's nothing else out there.
It's so hard to describe the fractal thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, I mean, I don't actually know what I mean by that. I just have images in my head or something, you know? And you can't really wrap. There's no way for mind to like wrap its head around that and explain it or talk about big or little, or it doesn't make any sense in that context. None of it does.
No.
It's just bizarre.
But there's so many. There's like an unlimited number of ways to come at this. Like I was having lunch with an attorney who was really, you know, was interested. I forget, you know, I could use some examples about this that seemed appropriate and all that, but then the next time I saw him, it was, he had, like, prepared refutations, you know?
Like a true attorney would.
Yeah, exactly. It was so attorney-like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But he was listening, but he heard me the first time, but then, you know, I couldn't.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, I just, no, I...
How much should you pay for an attorney?
Well, I really think drugs help telling it. I mean, like, people just have such an aversion to drugs because we've been so fucking brainwashed on that front. I mean, plants. They're plants. This is drugs. It's on the table. In broad daylight. That's okay.
I sure like plants, Carl.
And plants are not okay.
You can start working stuff.
You can smoke them. You can eat them. You can curl up in bed with them, too, Carl. Gosh, I like plants. Let's say there's a fork in the road. First thing to do is sit on it.
Oh my God.
So you see, there's a fork in the road. If this profundity of experiencing is consequential, then you assign yourself to samsara. If this experiencing is not consequential, you got to rethink everything. So an attorney or whomever, engineer, first responder, priest, who will not consider that single question, whether this is consequential or not, will remain in the bondage of creation as secularly existent. That's simple. If someone is willing to think about, consider the implication that present experience, which is the starting point for both groups, is not consequential. Woo! Your mind has to open.
Well, you have to have a certain willingness to be inconsequential. That's the stumbling block.
Well, that's more emotive, right? Yeah, which, you know, was going to catch up with you sooner or later. But before there's any implication of whether this is consequential or, when I mean inconsequential, I don't mean small.
Right.
Right? By inconsequential, this is not the consequence of anything. Therefore, big bangs off the table, neurons are off the table, synapses are off the table. In other words, anything that you can point to from a materialist point of view being held responsible or accountable for the profundity and the profusion of experience.
You have to, something in your interest has to be interested in wiping the slate completely clean.
Yes.
Which is,
yep.
You know, kind of seems big even though it's not.
That's why whoever we are, or most of us, are, you know, either are or surrounded by mental patients. All of whom appear to have a day pass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We're surrounded by whom we are.
That's right. Both. Yes. And all of this, you know, spiritual horseshit that occurs, either inspirational or incarcerable, is somewhat superficial.
Somewhat.
Totally superficial. Just being calm.
That's it, when they're taking a picture.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
What's good?
NSA.
I don't know.
They come in straight.
Somebody should go get her. They would send a small, cute Asian woman with a nice little haircut. That is who they would send.
But then we would have to think she better.
Somebody should take a picture of?
I think she would take a picture of something up there. I don't think it was us.
Oh,
what's
up? Yeah.
No, it was Francine.
I can't tell you guys who I am.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to tell you who I am or what I really do. All right, I'd have to kill myself. I might be full. I might be too full to eat everyone else's leftovers.
This was very good.
Yeah, it is.
It was good.
Yeah. So you can see that most of the stuff we're trying to negotiate with, you know, through spiritual stuff or recovery stuff or belief or superstition, are all pointing towards some kind of amelioration of that this is consequential. You can see, therefore, that a curious approach to liberation is, whoa, if this isn't the consequence of anything, then all the buzzing that goes on in my experience for security, for revenge, for whatever, is within a body of myth. Everything that's bothering me, that has ever bothered me, or the things that I look forward to extract some joy from, are all appearing in a body of myth. That's a, you could say, a very embracing, call it geometric appreciation of the nature of present experience. If that's the case, then you could say you're gifted with the option to retreat or deny. That's the only thing. That's the only two things at your disposal from moment to moment, is to retreat from hallucination or deny. Which means you remain in, right, the inertia of hallucination. So that's it. Moment to moment, it's like, you know, it's the red pill or the blue pill. Where do you want to go? Retreat, meaning you just withdraw from the entirety of the hallucination, including consciousness, and see what might be there, if there's a there, or you deny. That is the sum total of your free will. And of course, even that's not up to you.
Saying too much.
Yeah, it's saying too much. It's not really up to you.
Deny?
Yeah.
Collaborate. Are you denying?
What we're suggesting deny means is you deny the insight that this is not of the nature of consequence. In other words, if a guru says, hey, this is a dream or something like that, and that's, you could say, commonly, right, expressed, depending on the vernacular and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If you deny the revelation that this is dreaming or of the nature of a dream, then you remain under the influence of I, me, my, time, space, body, mind, and everything else. That's to deny
all the shit that goes with it.
Or withdraw, I'm suggesting, is you could say one rests in the unhookable. But the unhookable is transhuman. So it's not like...
It doesn't have anything to do with whether you're a human hooked, and that's just confusing.
It just has nothing to do with it. Yeah, nothing at all to do with it. So we think, oh, well, if I'm suffering, it's going to look like this. And if I read Thich Nhat Hanh and other posers like him, if I'm not suffering, it'll look like this. You know? I'll turn into a slightly built Vietnamese guy or woman in a robe, eating slowly.
Looking kind of dazed.
Yeah, looking kind of dazed and, you know, pleased to be in the present. Guess what? Sorry.
I guess what we're all looking for is the trap door that will suddenly fall through.
Yeah, well, again, it's funny because if we're looking for a trap door, right, we're already in denial.
Yeah.
And so the only trap door you're going to find in denial is a trap door to denial. You'll just end up in another, you know, another Tupperware party of denial.
You really have happens every night when you go to sleep. You fall through a trap door to another party.
Yeah. Shit, it happens while you're driving.
It happens while you're driving, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. We're never awake.
There might not be any such thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you see, the human, the suffering human, who might be have become inspired to pursue spirituality as the ultimate ameliorative, is absolutely convinced that he or she is a consequence and therefore embodied suffering of some kind. And so the solution, right, the remedy, must also be embodied without affliction. So Thich Nhat Hanh looks like he's embodied without affliction because he walks slow, he eats slow, he writes books, he wears robes. He took a lot of risks in the middle of the Vietnamese War. He contributed to all kinds of healing, whether superficial or deep, no one can say. And so it looks like that guy, that's a guy that's still got a body, but maybe not for long, who nailed this. And so Plum Village and the Order of Interbeing and all the books and all the retreats and all the horseshit that gets postulated by all these fucking posers is, hey, Thich Nhat Hanh, one out. So can you if you eat slow, you walk slow, and you follow your breath, and you be present, and you walk on the earth, and you cultivate joy, and you stop deriding yourself for not being as compassionate as you should be. You know, I mean, you just end up, and you've got the 5 mindfulness trainings, and then the 13 mindfulness trainings, and before you know it, you are so deeply embodied as someone that's hoping to emulate what Thich Nhat Hanh might have done so that you can be like that too. Good luck, not happening.
You didn't like them? You didn't like them?
Oh, yeah.
You all done, sweetie?
Yeah. I just like being called sweetie.
Yeah, well, no, I was talking to her.
No, you were talking to me.
Yeah.
And not to pick on him, just because he's, you know, he's had a massive stroke and he can't speak. Yeah. Well.
Just like what is it?
Why not?
Yeah, really, why not?
Krishna Das, Ram Das. I mean, you just line them all up. You know, it's like shooting ducks. It's always about behavior, about suffering, about compassion, about something you did right or didn't do right, what you should do about this, what you should do about that. If you just chanted more, if you did more kirtan, you know, if you hook up with somebody at Bhakti Fest, you know, you find your soulmate at Bhakti Fest. Every morning you can go moo, 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 and then sing the Hanuman Chalisa. Come on.
I like to change all the words. Now I just sing Guru Ram Freddy.
Guru Ram Freddy is good, yeah. I mean, everyone that goes to the microphone, you know, to talk to Adya Shanti. As long as the human dilemma, the suffering dilemma, is motivating you, then every trap door will just be another trap door into denial.
You think that guys are understanding of, I mean, you think they're,
I don't know what to think about them.
Right.
It's just,
nobody really knows where their heads are at.
It's the, you know, it's like, are we ready to have, while so-called embodied, eating breakfast in the first world, still under the hypnosis that we live in a free country?
Very strong one, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Hypnosis.
Very strong hypnosis. Are we interested in having a transhuman conversation? Are we capable of using our neocortex and our opposable thumb, our appetite, all of the resources that we command, you know, as a biologic entity, to consider the transhuman implication? And you can read every Thich Nhat Hanh book under the sun. You're not going to find it. What to do about your anger, what to do about your greed, what to do about this and what to do about that. Come to Plum Village, you know, take robes, walk slow, right? Start a meditation group so a bunch of narcissists can all, you know, hang out in a circle and tell each other about their feelings. You know, what will it take to raise the bar on the way that we have been sold and the way that we participate in so-called religion, so-called spirituality? Maybe a few of the TED Talk men and women, you know, as clever and well-educated and humorous as they can be, sometimes they flirt with the transhuman.
Who was that? TED Talk?
Yeah. And the audience will applaud, but no idea what just happened. You know, like the Ever-Ready Bunny. You can check it out online. TED Talks. Yeah.
You've heard people on TED Talks flirt with this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're there.
There's a lot of people with the consciousness.
Yeah.
Group.
Yeah, the consciousness folks. Yeah.
And physics.
The physicists, not all of them, maybe some of them, you can't count them. You know, and of course it's conjecture. They know that this isn't made of anything. They know that this is not a consequence. They don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to articulate it.
Well, they don't see how it should affect how they.
Yeah, they don't. You know, they don't. They haven't necessarily bridged.
Turn it into another theory, because that's how you have to present things in academic.
Yeah.
There was this article I cut out of the Wall Street Journal this weekend, and I meant to bring it, but it was all about this guy having an out-of-body experience. But he's a scientist, so it was okay that he did this. You know, it was a scientific out-of-body experience.
You mean it wasn't due to drugs?
And his brother had recently died, so he was just kind of overcome with grief and all that. So, but he noticed he was outside looking at himself, like, on the bed.
Yeah.
So then, of course, he did a research study on these sort thing.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, oh, well, he has to kind of come to the conclusion that, you know, the body isn't where it's at or whatever. He can't do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He can't know that. So in reality, it's all happening within the body, projecting itself outward.
See?
And all, and he just had to wrap it up in a scientific
package
at the end. I mean, he was headed, like, in the right direction, and then he just put it all back.
Yeah.
And it's completely the body and the brain.
That's right. The brain is the origin of causal experience.
Yeah, they won't leave that.
No. No.
Not unless, and the, or you, well, then, or you go to, like, religious, and then they go to the insane. All they do is take this material body with a brain and turn it into a soul, which is really just, like, the way they say, oh, that's not human, but the way they talk about it is, like, a soul is, like, a ghost that's a material person with a brain. It's, like, really funny.
They anthropomorphize the soul.
I know. It's a projection of your brain.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They anthropomorphize the soul. Right.
Yeah, like as if the soul is just like a human being, like ghost like type creature floating around. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. This goes back to that fork in the road. This is causal or acausal.
Yeah.
If it's causal, if we stop blaming the brain, we blame the soul. If we stop blaming the soul, we blame the morphic resonance, morphogenic field. I mean, who knows what to blame? Or God.
Who knows what to blame next?
Yeah, who knows what to blame next? It's you know, deliciously revelatory, though counterintuitive, that this is not causal.
Well, not causal, not about it.
Are you having lunch here?
We are, yeah.
We pressure ourselves into trying to adopt idealized thinking, idealized emotivity, idealized mindfulness, like the Eightfold Path. Write this, write that, write this, write that. Do be a good bee, don't be a bad bee, whatever that was. Is that a Romper Room thing?
Yeah, do be.
Was it a spelling thing or was it a behavioral thing? I forget.
I think that's
probably behavioral.
The word do be is attractive.
Yeah, do be.
Like
yeah.
Just walk around. I just go do be, do be, do
be. Do be,
do
be,
do. No, no. Do be. It's fun to say that word.
Yeah.
So I want to be.
I like
do
be. What's too small?
I know it's here.
Yeah. We have to enroll ourselves in presently appearing experience or consciousness to turn it into something which turns us into something.
Yeah, that's the order.
So at the root of it is a reflexive, unconscious, apparitionally, spontaneously, and impersonally appearing urgency or assertion of objectification. And that seals our fate into cascading denial. Where the rich remain rich and the poor remain poor. and the manipulation of resources and governments and financial and eco systems and food chain and communication, militarism, courts, peace officers are all manipulated by fewer and fewer and fewer people. The rich remain rich, and the poor remain poor. The rich become few, and the poor become many.
Because when you think about it, it's like
you can only indulge in so much creature comfort.
I hate to use our friend BT.
Okay.
But I'm going to use him as an example. So, you know, one of his, like, things is the people in Africa, my friends in Africa, were so rich with caring for their family and love for their family and all this other shit. And this is years ago when I was, like, more buying into his BS, right?
I see.
And even back then, I was like, bullshit. But I thought, okay, you know, she's in love, whatever his mind is telling him, he's in love with this girl, with these people, and he sees himself as the hero and the savior and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Why do they need so much money and so much resources if, in fact,
they're living la vida loca?
Because they are not starting to or in dire need of danger at the moment.
Their family brings so much joy.
What's that?
Family brings so much joy.
Yeah, right.
Certainly to everyone here.
Right?
Right.
Because you know it's like... no different there really than it is here of people just like thinking that if you have more resources and more whatever, if you really want to be somebody, you should be somebody in power. It's easier to call them. But I imagine that people I imagine Barack Obama could be this way. Maybe I'm not probably soon. This is all just a weird story that wanders through my head, but anyway, I imagine him to have these, like, good sense of integrity and morals or whatever, and yeah, okay. And he just has been corrupted by his sister. Like, he can't, he's trapped in a sense. And that's probably a reflection of my psychosis, but, like, he's trapped in that he wants to open things up, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants to say, okay, we don't need to go through all of this poser pretend bullshit, you know, that is just throwing revenue at somebody. Just give them the money. Get it started. We don't need to have, you know what I mean? We don't need to go through all this court craziness and babbling and talking. It's just,
the inmates have control of the asylum.
My brother, that 1% was controlling our education system, and he was like, why would anybody want to control our education system? I was like, this is like, we shouldn't even be talking, let's just.